This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
All right, you're listening to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People. My name's Meredith Medlin, and I'm your host, and we're recording right here in Santa Barbara, California, at the Pescadrome. Yeah, thank you so much. We are in the midst of an audience filled with amazing, creative people who have really put their life on the line and put their soul in their creativity and come together in community. They socialize, we socialize, around all sort of exciting events that could be music or art, technology, and it's all housed in a wonderful community environment, which is where we're recording from. So we're going to take a minute to broadcast some of the highlights from today's show, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Olivia and Rachel about what it means to be living green. We'll be back right after this.
I usually don't use water bottles. I refill the water bottles that I get from my friends and stuff. So just reduce, reuse, recycle.
To be living green, it really means to help the environment. Like, if you want to help the environment, first of all, unplug chargers. That is very important because it's true. It's a very big part of electricity. And if you keep your chargers in all the time, then the power is still running and electricity is wasted. I met someone and she said that her mom was a scientist and blah, blah, blah. And she said that the world was going to end on December 12th of 2011.
We're all like, 2012.
So, but that's not true. I don't think the world's going to end.
You're listening to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People. You can learn more about us at livinggreenshow.com. All right, we're here at the Pescadrome, and right in front of me is Rachel. Rachel, what does it mean to you to be living green?
Well, to be living green, it really means to help the environment. Like, if you want to help the environment, first of all, unplug chargers. That is very important because It's true. It's a very big part of electricity. And if you keep your chargers in all the time, then the power is still running and electricity is wasted. So seriously, I needed to talk about that because it's very, very important.
All right. From the mouth of babes. Woo! Excellent. And this is Olivia. Olivia, what does it mean to you to be living green?
I usually don't use water bottles. I refill the water bottles that I get from my friends and stuff. So just reduce, reuse, recycle.
And so as you take a look at what your mom and your dad are doing or some of the people that are in your dojo, I know you girls are both martial artists, so that's pretty exciting. What are some of the things that you think that you see adults doing that maybe they don't realize, like that the kids already know, or what do we need to be talking about from your perspective?
Well, I've seen people and they go out in multiple trips to do errands and stuff like that. So just try to do everything in one trip so that you don't have to waste time and gasoline and stuff.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Now, before you guys sit down, I just wanted to ask Rachel one more question. So, Rachel, we were having a bit of a serious conversation before our show started today, and I asked you what you thought about the nature of where the planet's headed and what's going to happen when you're a little bit older. You know, do you think that the world's kind of coming to an end here? We got a big problem. Is this doomsday?
Well, no. I met someone and she said that her mom was a scientist and blah, blah, blah. And she said that the world was going to end on December 12th of 2011.
We're all like, 2012.
So, but that's not true. I don't think the world's going to end.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much, you guys. Thank you. So one of the reasons that we're recording this broadcast today is to share with you all my listeners, as well as the people in the audience, about how Living Green started. And so you've just witnessed how Living Green started for me. I was studying sensuality, actually, in the interest of pursuing a long-term lifetime relationship and increasing the fabulousness of our sensual and sexual lifestyle and living in San Francisco. And I had had a performance, that's a whole nother podcast. So I came to this crossroads in my life where I knew that I'd always been a performer and a speaker and had a speaking career in the corporate circuit, but I wasn't sure that I wanted to make an impression or make a legacy that was around sensuality, because I just felt like it was a little incongruent with my desire to like teach kids or have kids. I just wasn't sure how I was going to manage that actual persona. So I had given a lot of thought to that, and my friend asked me if I'd be interested in doing a video show, which at the time was a little more like sexy and appealing than audio, with a network on sensuality. And so I was really put at this crossroads of deciding ultimately what was I going to do with my life energy and how was I going to make a difference in the world. And so ultimately what I decided was that the information that I had read around indigo children, which are the children that are prophesizing in the future to be the people who are our new leaders, that I wanted to give them a voice, and I wanted to do something that created a legacy and a journal and a written experience that they could go back to, so that they knew that their elders or the people were hip to some of the things that were happening in the underground. And so that's how the whole thing started. I had started broadcasting and doing podcasting in the corporate world in an internet marketing conference called AdTech. So I was familiar with interviewing people and having a microphone and uploading files and all those sorts of things. Living Green is part of a network that's called Personal Life Media. And Personal Life Media hosts 25 shows. Some of them are on sensuality, some of them are on books, some of them are on health and wellness, coaching the life coach, lots of great titles. So one difference in this podcast compared to others is that this is a sponsored podcast. There's 3 sponsored breaks. It's generally a 24-minute podcast. Sometimes it does run over a little bit. And the advertising and the marketing and how I make money doing the podcast comes from the advertisers who support the podcast. There's marketers that are part of Personal Life Media who call major companies and make requests for them to buy advertising in the form of audio files as well as online advertisements on the website. And so they make their money doing that. I give them my content, and I get a percentage of the advertising. There are a few exceptions to the rule. There's room for creativity for me to do things. One of the things I actually would love to co-create with the Pescadrome and people here is to have a video to upload for the podcast and to be able to make Wednesday nights like where we interview and we've got what's happening in our community uploaded to these 25,000 people, and all of a sudden the community has expanded. So that's part of my vision. There's 25,000 people listening to this podcast. Holy shit, you know? Yeah.
I didn't know this was going to be such a racy green radio show.
Well, you never know what you might get here.
Spring an orgasm on us. my experience with One Taste was really interesting. And I think what it speaks to me about is that there's a level of integral consciousness that's developing. And so it says that our sex lives are related to ecology.
Suzanne is a world music diva, a kirtan leader, and a progressive ritualist in the Yoga Groove Collective.
Not only is it time for us to wake up to the beauty and the grace and the imminence of spirit in the natural world around us, but it's time for us to actually start protecting that. We're all smart humans. Let's not stand in the way of the progress that's actually going to move us forward with those forward-thinking designs.
All right, so that's podcast number 4, and that's where things started to change for me.
So I was interviewing Suzanne Sterling. So she is a ritualist. She was really involved in reclaiming in the Bay Area, which is the Wiccan sect. She does a lot of on-the-mat yoga-oriented retreats in the world music scene. She's someone who plays with Michael Fronte, and she does basically kirtan, but it's English, and it's more like English-speaking, ecology-based information. She's another one of these very eclectic women. So here's what happened. I knew her when I was involved in Burning Man, and maybe my fifth year of Burning Man, there was a camp called the Temple of Venus, and we brought extended massive orgasm to the playa. Jackie was there that first year. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I wanted to create a ritual during that experience at Burning Man, because I also realized that we were bringing in and conducing a lot of heavy energies. So Suzanne taught me how to call in the four corners, which is a form of ritual. And it involves earth, wind, fire, all these things, north, south, east, west. So I'm in the middle of recording the podcast with her on episode number 4. And I've just met the man in charge of choosing what podcasts get placed where from iTunes, from Apple, at a dinner party, maybe like 2 nights earlier. And I'm kind of on this high of like, all I got is I got a podcasting recorder. I guess we have it up there, a microphone, and basically upload these MP3 files, interview anybody you want. We'll insert the commercials and give you the music. And so I was just having pretty much a good time. And I was really living in this fantasy of like, oh my God, this is going to go somewhere. But I had actually no idea what was going to be happening, but I knew it was a cool calling card. So all of a sudden I realized that there was actually no promise that anybody was ever going to listen to any of my podcasts. And the numbers came through on the third podcast. And I think there were like 800 listeners. And I was like, that was a lot of work for 800 listeners, which is still pretty cool. But I think like the monetization for me making it a full-time job is at like $500,000. So that seemed like a pretty far cry away. So I was with Suzanne, and she'd just done a performance in Santa Barbara, and I was sitting across from her, and the question that I wanted to ask was, how do you call in the four corners? Because I wanted to get it recorded, because I felt like it was the pending question that I could ask her. My God, she's a ritualist, and she studied it for 15 years. But for me, it was a bit of a taboo subject, because it was kind of like one of those things that you should maybe ask at like 4 a.m. or if you've like paid tuition on some sort of a weekend workshop or something. And so I was facing her, and if Rachel's here, and I was literally like at the table, and I looked at her and I saw her like gleaming eyes, and all of a sudden I realized that there was nobody else in the room, but it's just me and Suzanne. And there happened to be this microphone, and that's where I learned the distinction between the audience and myself as performer, and that it was really, really important when I produced my content that the questions that I asked were the questions that I wanted to know the answers to. So in that moment, I asked the questions, I got shivers all over. I asked her all sorts of questions in that interview that began the beginning of asking the questions that you're not supposed to ask with a microphone. And I think it was 8 shows later, the numbers escalated to 15,000 and have continued to grow since. So the most important thing that I can say is it's the art of asking questions that produces intimacy, and that intimacy, I believe, is what everybody wants. And so in each of the podcasts, what I've really taken the time to create is a place of safety for me. So I told you about the kids and the Indigo Children. And so I had met a man who was really into alternative thinking and conspiracy theory. And I'm from Wisconsin. I moved to Chicago and I was in the corporate world. I'd not been exposed. I didn't know what ecstasy was till I was 25 years old. I didn't know a lot before I got to San Francisco. I was a hardcore business person and I had a fantastic business career. It scared me at a level, like the level of anxiety learning about conspiracy theory that produced from, it was excruciating. And so all I knew how to do to protect myself was essentially to go seek out these people who were talking about go bags or buying food for food storage or what was going to happen in the future or how do I educate my kids in homeschooling. That's one of the episodes. So I created essentially a database of information that would protect me. So I had left that relationship and realized that I was on my own, and I'd done all this. I'd lived in an 18-person sensual community and then wanted to move to an eco community, and I got scared. I was like, what is going on? So I created the meaning for what did Living Green mean for me, which you said you're interested in creating a podcast. So the first thing is always ask the questions of people of you that you want to know. Our time is limited, and what I've found is that if you ask those questions, the world pops open. The second, if you're scared, find a solution. And generally, that solution means finding the power within yourself to ask the questions because you're scared. And then those things just don't seem very scary. In fact, a lot of them seem sort of really ridiculous through time because I became more educated. And so the like, rah, you know, of like the world falling apart, all of a sudden I found a lot of people that were making an enormous difference in the world, and they were bright, shining spirits. So the second would really be to ask those questions that are the scary questions. The third is to do what you love. And so when I found that I just started asking questions and doing the podcasts in a way that was just easy and fun and content that I wanted to produce, I knew I needed a purpose. And so in each of the episodes, I just wanted to kind of show them to you on the screen. Each of these episodes have something to do with creating a legacy. And you can see them a little bit here. And then I wanted to show you that all the episodes have a written transcript with them. And that's provided by the network. So one of you had asked me, you know, independent versus network. There are about 10 podcasting networks that are still accepting independent podcasters. And I'm part of the Association for Downloadable Media, which is the kind of the association that supports all the podcasters. So we just got together for the New Media Expo. So if you want a podcast or broadcast or vidcast, being part of a network is what I really feel is the only way to leverage money from major brands. And the change that's happening in the podcasting universe is extraordinary because there's a lot of alternative things that are being recorded. And so what I see as a media producer now is we're in the midst of major change because these written transcripts that usually about 10 minutes into the interview, I start asking some pretty intense questions. And so the point is that creating a legacy or knowing why you're doing what you're doing when you're broadcasting is also really key. So those are the main lessons and the main points of things I wanted to share with you to help your own stability in whatever creative project that you might be doing. And again, those all boil down to intimacy. And so if there's a way that you can take your artwork or your music or your broadcast and really look for those places that are the things that we don't say to each other, that's where I believe we get like propulsion into really the next realm of where we're headed. And that's where hope has come for me.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption. Green Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living Green. I'm your host, Meredith Medland, and today on the show, we're in Santa Barbara, California, and I'm telling all about the ins and outs of the podcasting world and what has happened. So
there's been lots of curiosity. So first of all, I want to thank all of you listeners. I've been receiving your emails, your comments on my blog, and also you've been calling the phone number, calling in and leaving MP3 files that I can play during the podcast. So there's been a few questions from our audience, and I'm opening up the floor now to come on up if you have any questions. And if you don't, I'd love to know what it means to each of you to be living green. And that's what it's like to have a fantastic message from our sponsors. So we are full of that. So I wanted to share a story with you. I was in San Francisco working for a kids cooking camp, and I was doing a show there. Yeah, it was super fun. It was all healthy living and healthy food for kids. Now, there was a podcasting journalism camp next door, which was even funnier, and they asked me to present there while I'm like actually volunteering at the kids' cooking camp. It was hysterical how these things all intertwine. And I got a phone call, and the phone call went something like this. May I speak with Meredith Medland? And I said, oh, this is she. Oh, my God, I can't believe I actually got a hold of you. Is this like, this is you? It sounds like you. And he carried on. He was shocked. He said, I don't think you realize that the kind of questions that you're asking and the guests that you have and the friends that you have on your show are giving me access that I don't have with anyone else in my life. I didn't know how to talk to people until I heard you talking with people. I was wondering if there's anything that you could do to just start working with me on a weekly basis, because I'm forgetting who I am. But when I listen to the people on your show, I'm reminded that it's okay to be a little bit different. And so after I got the wind back in me, he spoke to me for 45 more minutes. And that was when I really got present to the abundance in my life and the conversational abundance. And that was when I also realized that things are really changing. I realized that the energy that I put into Burning Man, which has been a lot over the years, needed to start going to other places for me personally. And I still love Burning Man. Because I started to hear listener over listener and blog post over blog post and just separate emails that what I had experienced as this, you know, Wisconsin girl having gone to California and gone through this massive transformation was something that other people in the United States don't even have access to. And so that's one of the things that I was hoping that I could encourage all of you to do and maybe work with each other. Or I'm kind of at this place in my show where the last episode was about disaster preparedness. And it was a really uncomfortable episode for me. I went to the guy's house to record it, and he was actually an old roommate of mine that I'd met in like Landmark Forum in 2000 or something. So he wasn't that nutty. I mean, I actually knew the guy. You know, it wasn't like this random crazy guy putting food storage together. And then we got ready to record, and I said, so can I talk about everything that you're doing on the show? Because I always ask for permission. And he said, well, yeah. He's like, just don't tell people where I live. And I said, okay, I can do that. And I said, so what's all the stuff that you've got? And I tried to kind of bring myself into the fun, like, what's your stuff? But I was also like, holy shit. Do I really need to pack like a disaster kit and have my go bag ready and have food storage shelter ready? Like, has it really come to this? And this is a guy that I actually know. Like, this isn't some crazy dude on the internet. Like, I know this man. And so he said, so I got a gun. And I said, you did, get it out. And so he gets out his gun. And so I'm studying Hapkido. Yeah, this is actually fun. So I'm studying Hapkido. And we're doing gun defense on the mat in the dojo, and which is very exciting for me. And so I checked the gun like five times, because I wasn't totally convinced that it didn't have ammunition in it, and I was just protecting and being safe. And I said, what are you going to do if someone actually comes in your house? Like, what are you going to do with the gun? And I said, pick it up. Like, show me what you're going to do. And he picked up the gun, and I used the technique that we'd learned in Hapkido that week and turn the gun around on him within like 2 seconds. And so I tell that mainly because I see people preparing in all these ways for disaster who don't have their attention on what's working
or they don't see that there's all these unsung heroes or alternative media or podcasting or the Paul Hawkins of the world. There's massive amounts of people in the world who want the world to succeed. And so I'm starting to see through the alternative podcasting events that I'm going to, seas of people just like me, of just like you, who are now saying things on a national media basis that's accessible to anyone in the world with written transcripts. And so what I really feel strongly that I'm here to say is that you can make your own assessment about what you want to do and what direction that the world is coming to. But I'm starting to see very clearly that there's a lot more people like me, and I feel like freedom really is here. And so spending that energy that I used to spend at Burning Man and bringing that out into the United States or out through my show is what's important to me. Thank you.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.